Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
No, I just don't.
Welcome back to another edition of the Pitch, Putt, and Puff podcast. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the last episode as well. It was one of the most listened to episodes. Shout out to XG for jumping on, taking the time. Really cool of him to do. I'm sitting here today with a couple guests. Missing a co-host today. Brad's not going to be here tonight, but sitting to my right is my man JR. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's up?
And then we got the 518's Golf the Cape guys here, Anthony and Mike. What's up, boys? Welcome to the pod.
Yo, yo.
Yeah, so big episode. These guys are excited to be on. They're starting something new, doing a little bit of golfing in the Cape. Bunch of guys from the 518. So, Ant, tell us a little bit about what your plan is going forward with that.
I don't know, we've really been doing this for like 5 years. We just didn't really know it yet. Because me and Mikey started going out to the Cape to my parents' condo probably in, 2018? Playing.
4 or 5 years? Yeah, five years ago.
5 years ago. Started playing every spring out there. And it was actually Mike's idea because he was looking online for these the map for... how many golf courses were at the Cape, and there's actually 50 golf courses, believe it or not, out there on that small island.
Okay.
It's pretty wild. I didn't even believe it. But yeah. So Mike comes to me on Christmas of what, maybe 2 years ago? 2020?
Yeah. Yep. Christmas. Two, 3 years ago, I think it was.
And he brought me this map from Cape Cod Golf Guys. Pretty cool guys. They're from out of the Cape. But it has all the golf courses on it. So Mike's like, let's put this in a frame, grab some erasable markers things, and we've been checking off the spots we've been going, and that was 4 years ago. Then I just thought, just this past year, I said, let's do something. I said, let's maybe talk about it. There's a lot of people that go to the Cape. I said, we could do something like a podcast and the Instagram page type thing and get some followers. I've been getting a lot of followers out at the Cape.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
You've been putting in some work, though.
You've been putting in some work, man. It's pretty hard, man.
You actually got me motivated a little bit to get on my shit a little bit.
Roger got remotivated.
I did. Because it's tough, Jay, when there's no golf. It's like, all right, what do we got to talk about? You know what I mean? So now it's like, all right, me and him, now I got someone to work with, kind of, and he can promote my shit. I'll promote his shit.
You're not golfing, so you got time to hit up everybody.
Yeah, and talk to people. Like,
you need somebody to talk, it's this guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been networking like crazy. I've been networking hard. It's a lot of fun, though, too. It's, you know, I'm getting to know a lot of people in the golf world.
Yeah.
And it's free. Really, at the end of the day, it's free.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's and that you actually listen to one of your podcasts, and you're like, you know what? It's fun. I'm getting together with the guys.
That's it.
We're talking about what we're doing, and
something
hopefully
to do.
We get some people listening. You know,
that's it. And you got like literally, we can look back at this in 10 years, sit down, smoke a joint or whatever, and be like, yo, look how stupid we are. Like, yo, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Like that was a good time.
Yeah,
like we had fun with it at least.
Yeah.
You know.
yeah.
What got you guys into golf? When did you guys start golfing?
Actually, I got into it when I started working at Concord. My boss had an old set of clubs sitting in his basement.
Yep.
And then that's when I kind of met this guy.
Okay.
Because I worked with another kid, Sean, that I met him through.
Okay.
He knows I've been in it my whole life.
So he's been in it forever.
Yeah, yeah. So he's been writing Yelp reviews on Brunswick Green since 1987.
But yeah, I was always sneaking out with the Stickaway Boys at Freer Park over there.
Yep.
Going through OLV parking lot on the fifth hole. Oh, as, yeah. You know, like 11, 12-year-olds.
Yep.
So I probably started at like 12, 13, but I sucked up until I was at least 25.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? I didn't really start playing seriously until my mid-20s.
You got to take it seriously.
You got to grow into it.
So yeah. What do you consider not sucking at golf?
Yeah. Good question, Joe.
Okay. So that's a good question. It took me until I was probably in my mid-20s to break 100 at Freer Park.
Okay.
So good 10 years from 16 to 25 of playing serious to break 100 at that tough golf course.
Yeah.
And now I break 100 regularly there. If I shoot over 100, that's a really terrible round.
Yep.
And if I shoot in the 80s, that's a real good round. And I broke 80 once my first time last year at Eagle Crest. It was just everything was going right. Shot 79. And nice. It's kind of an easy course. I don't know if you guys played it out there at Clifton Park.
Oh, yeah. I played all the time.
It's real forgiving. And I was just hitting some crazy putts. Brad was actually there just shaking his head at me, doing his Brad thing. Like, yep. You know, like, I can't believe you're hitting this shit.
I think anything under 90 is actually better than what a lot of amateur golfers would probably think.
Absolutely. I think if you're under 100 and under, you're a decent golfer. You can go out there and hang with pretty much anybody you play with.
But it took me 10 years of
averaging 80s, though. You're a good golfer.
You're a good golfer.
Amateur. If you're like under 90 a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not embarrassing. You go out and play golf and not be embarrassed.
Like dudes like Cunningham, Pastore, shooting in the mid and low 80s consistently yourself, like just in the 80s, low all the time, in 70s.
That's what it is.
I would like to be 85. It's cool.
That's my goal. When I get to the golf course, I want to leave there with an 85, and I'll have a great day.
The difference between us and the pros is the consistency. That's what you just said. It's consistency.
We got to go to work, though. We can't, practice like they can.
Right.
Like, they already have, like, their money and stuff set. They've been practicing every day.
And they're practicing.
Instead of going to work, like, they were hitting, like, 5,000 golf balls.
That's the thing. Right. They're practicing. We're going, like, in our free time when we get a chance to go, we're going to play. Let's get out there and play nine, smoke a couple joints. Have a couple. That's our practice. They're going to the range at 5 a.m. instead of we're putting the boots on going to work.
They're doing they're 6 hours.
Yeah.
Sessions. Yeah.
Like fairway. I mean, fairway could technically, the amount of swings he take this year, he probably could have a PGA card. But he's at over on the sixth hole at Freer Park, and he's hitting all different shots. And there'll be rounds we're playing, and he'll be like, I hit this shot like 600 times today. And his hands are all bleeding and shit. And he's like, it's just not working out here.
He ends up with like some Band-Aids.
Yeah, he's always got Band-Aids on because he's hitting 7,000 golf balls. I seen him today.
Fairway Mike.
So we're broadcasting this, by the way, live from the Fairway Studios or Hey Man Studios.
Hey Man Studios.
I
practiced a lot last year. I did a lot better. Like, this year I didn't practice at all. And I was, like, 87s,
yep.
Like, even, like, a 91 or 2. Didn't practice at all. But the year before, I was shooting, like, low 80s all the time. And I was practicing, like, 2 or 3 times a day. Like, that shit matters a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed it with my game last year. This year I just passed. Like, I didn't practice. And there's days I played like shit. And, like, last year, I practiced a lot, and I was shooting, like, 76s once.
Dude, last year, you were fire.
Like, I was practicing 2 or 3 times a week, and yep. It's like, that shit will matter if you want to, like, go under 90.
If
like,
you
better
keep
practice
consistent.
Somehow, like, 2 or 3 times a day.
That's like with Bub when he gets frustrated mid-season when he actually has to work all the time and shit. He's like, my scores are going up. I'm like, Bub, well, you're not out here. You're getting out once a week. Like, what do you expect to do?
That shit's not easy playing on Sunday. We go break 90.
No. Yep. No.
That's where I'm at.
You're in the same situation, same company as him. So yeah, you're out there once a week, and it's tough to get out there and get consistent.
Right before you get ready to go out.
So a guy like me who plays 5-6 times a week, it's sometimes bad too because then I start doing something terrible, and then I try to fix it, and then I'm doing so many different things that I'm fucked up for 2-3 weeks stretch before I just take a couple of days off.
Yeah, well,
what the fuck am I doing here?
That's such a mental game.
It is. That's what I was saying. If you guys listen to the last one with XG, he had a guy on, And those guys were arguing. He's like, you know, boxing's harder, this and that. The guy's like, it physically, yes, but the mental aspect and the physical aspect of golf is harder. Like, you're doing, like I said to him, it's insane because you're trying to do the same thing, but you're not because every shot's different. So it's like it's doing the same thing and over and over and over and expecting the same results is insane. But that's kind of what golf is, but you're not trying to do that at the same time. So it's just a fucked up game.
Exactly. Right? Puts a bean on you.
Yeah,
all it takes is two good shots in a round, though.
Yeah, and you're coming back.
Absolutely.
And you're coming back.
That's what
punch yourself in the face all day long with that last shot.
And like putting,
I'll be back.
The putting will always like cost, like for your park especially, is going to cost people a lot of strokes. Like if you're in the 90s, if you're in the 80s, low 80s, you putted well.
Freer Park greens will make you never want to golf again some days.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to go there.
Find some of those pin places.
They're not
you
right. Got
to go there expecting that, though, if you know the course. I mean, I tell everybody that. I said, listen, the course is wide open, but wait till you see these greens.
Yep.
Wait till you see these greens.
That's what I told my buddy Saron when he played on my birthday last year. I was like, dude, course, easy course until you get to the greens, man. And even when, like, I seen a couple guys I knew from the, when you guys were up there with the 518 golf, or amateur tour.
Yep.
Which McCoy, I was like, yo, you know, it's a course is beautiful, blah, 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 greens are a bitch. I see him after, he's like, dude, what the fuck? I put it this way, it went that way. So.
Yeah, the last, one of the last rounds, and I don't know if it was just because it was, the grounds were getting harder, it was the end of the season, but Mikey was there. And I'm telling you, I had a nice drive. I was about 6 feet below the cup, okay? I legitimately, Mike, do you remember? I put it up to the cup. I was about a foot past the ground, and then it started to roll back. This was on two.
Okay.
Okay?
Two. Wait, no, Jay listen. Loves two.
So it rolled legitimately back to me. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I was a foot away from the hole, perfect par look. Like, and it just, and then I'm like, is this thing, it's just,
then you end up people don't understand.
Oh, I think I doubled it, because I ended up just smashing it up there. I was like, it'll stay up there now.
The thing, like, because these guys play with us on the pitch, putt, and puff on Sundays as well. So, like, on Sundays, the guys from the loop, the group in front of us, they got, like, 24 to 30 guys. And they give the fucking ground screw guy a hard time, like, all the fucking time. So, on Sunday, he puts the pins in the hardest spot. So when we're up there on a Sunday, like, you expect it to be, like, the hardest possible fucking course. So, like, if you come out on a Sunday and shoot a 79, 80, like, you played fucking lights out. And you putted probably two putted everything at most, you know, so.
It's probably why, what's his name, scored low on the Saturday.
Yeah, because the greens were slow. And then, it was wet. It was wet.
And the pin placement was nice on that Saturday.
Yep.
It went a lot harder on Sunday.
And then you go to Sunday, and it's
I think a lot of his success had to do with pouring rain, and, I mean, it just slowed those greens up.
Yeah.
You know, you were having smash. The only time I've ever seen you have to smash the ball at Freer Park on those greens.
Yeah.
Because it was literally, you know, the water tail was going on, and it was not enjoyable, but we played through some shit in that tour.
Oh, yeah.
He has it all set up, and
that's a pretty good setup. Yeah. I mean, I was impressed when I pulled up that day. I didn't know, like, I didn't know what was going on, and I pulled up, and I was like, shit, did we not have a tee time today? Because I thought it was a tournament I didn't know about. And he's got all the banner set up and all that shit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
It's a cool little
setup. I just got into it last year, and Mikey got into it, and the camaraderie alone that you get with the guys I met. I used to have just Mikey to golf with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's it. I was like, yo, Mikey, you want to go golf? Now I got 30 guys I could call up on a Saturday and go golfing. And that's the best part. That's number one. Number two, I mean, it's tour feel. It really truthfully is because you got the live scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mikey gets annoyed at me.
People from everywhere.
We played
all over the Capital District.
Absolutely. Capital District. Not only that, you're playing with people. It's a nationwide tour. People don't realize that.
Because I follow the Utah one, started following me, Carolina one. Yep.
So actually, Freer Park, the winner was from the Philadelphia Metro Tour.
Oh, shit.
And it ended up being between him.
To Philly to play for
you. He did, yeah. I don't know if he had family here, whatever it was, but cool guy. He ended up, I was in the final foursome. I came back seven strokes. This is at Freer Park, day two. By 16, I think Mikey was in our foursome. Did you end up, you played with us. He was in the final foursome with us.
Yep. And I crapped out.
Well, you played like terrible, absolutely.
And they base it like a score, so you're going to have the low scores are going to be matched together.
Absolutely, that's what it means. Yeah. So when you got to play to be in that final group for sure.
That's cool.
So so anyways, I came back down. I was just holding it together. Nothing great, but they were falling apart.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They were ahead 7 strokes starting day 2, holding it together, and then 16 through 18, which are pretty easy holes, but the par 3 is a real tough one.
Yeah.
I shot plus 7 on the 3 holes. Oh. 7 over, yeah. Just murdered me.
Dude, 7, people don't realize it, but 17 and 18 can be a round
killer. I put it in the trees on 17. And the and 18, I put it to the down to the right in the trees. It's like it's because it like fell apart.
17 is pretty much 180 yard, 175 yard par 3 with uphill, basically a little uphill, and there's so much room for error. There's the green, there's not a good spot to land it on the green.
No, just in trouble.
One goes back left, another one sinks you down to the right, then the other one's a false front, brings you that way. Like, where you can't even land a ball anywhere to have a good putt.
So, I got the PS5 for Christmas and I got the golf. Freer Park's on there. I played it the other day.
Nice.
The course the kid did is awesome. It literally is exactly how the whole slope. The only hole that's like unrealistic is like 6 because it's a short, the dog leg left. You like hit a 7-iron over the trees with the you're a created golfer pretty much and fucking goes right on the green.
Is it updated to what for part 100% all the new work?
Oh, 100%. Beautiful. It's really? So cool, nice. Dude. It's so cool. I didn't really have the time. I've been too busy playing Spider-Man to look and see if there was any other local courses on there. But speaking of local courses in the Cape, what are some of your favorite courses from the Cape and out here?
Oh, God. So the nicest course we've played out of the
You guys game. Being on the tour and shit, you played a lot of courses around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of the Cape, nicest course is the course our condo is on, Ocean's Edge, I'd have to say. And unfortunately, they changed some things up. We're grateful for being able to play out there, but I don't even know the membership fee. It's astronomical. It's ridiculous to be a golf member.
Yeah.
So my parents are sports members, which gives you access to all the pools, the tennis courts, but not golf. Golf is like on another level.
I can imagine right there.
So they used to allow sports members to play off season in different, you know what I mean? Not peak time. And they nixed that. And I think what it was a lot of the, me and Mikey probably are thinking a lot of the members paying big bucks, huge dollars, like, you know.
Wanting tea times and
right, whatever it is, saying, like who are these clowns
right.
on the course, you know what I mean? That
taking YouTube videos.
Right.
They know you're not a member.
They know, right. And it's
like 10 grand a year? No, it's
way more than that. And the members, then there's an entry. They want the biggest thing. I think it's like 50 grand they want up front. Just to be a member, and then it's a yearly thing.
Right.
It's huge money.
Everybody's doing that though now. There's definitely a couple thousand entry fee at the minimum. You're paying like 5 now. Mm-hmm. Nobody lets you in for free anymore.
Nothing's free anymore.
So that's the nicest course. It's a Nicholas design, absolutely beautiful. You could see if you come on my Instagram page, 518 Golf the Cape, you could see some videos of us playing the course and some pictures of Ocean's Edge. I mean, absolutely beautiful. Just rolling hills, the green, the just forever green. It's unbelievable. There's not a brown piece of grass out there. They tell you this is interesting. They tell you. Well, what were you gonna say, Mike?
We get to stay on a course and look at it overnight and not. Get to play it.
It's literally. I want my first podcast. We're gonna try to do out there in the spring when we do it. And literally, out our window is the 8th green. It's just this beautiful course. It's unbelievable. But the condo is on the course. That's the nicest. But my favorite course is the Captains out there. It's shout out to the Captains. Awesome people. Always can get a tee time because it's 36 holes. I mean, I've called out there. Yeah, I've called out there, you know, 3 o'clock after we get back from the beach. Like, hey, babe, you care if I go golf a quick round, you know, midsummer?
Yep.
And she's like, I put the girls down for a nap. I go golfing. It's
so
it's,
I go out to awesome. Every summer I go out to Dennisport. And I go for, like, 3 or 4 days max. Like, not the big, like, so I had a terrible trauma as a child going to the Cape. I was 16. My parents forced me to go on a vacation I didn't want to go on. I had plans for the weekend that I had to cancel and shit, and I was pissed about it. So we're about to leave, and my mom says, oh, let's do a whale watch. So I'm thinking, like, she's like, it's a short one. But it was Gilligan's Island 6-hour whale watch, right? I'm out there. We've seen one fucking
six hours.
We're cruising around, boom, boom, boom. Like, I'm like, all right, we've seen a couple dolphins, a couple other fish jumping out of water, woohoo. And one whale, 6 hours.
Oh, God, that's brutal.
Then you got to drive. Then you got to drive 3.5-4 hours home in traffic and everything else because it was a Sunday. I'm like, yo, I was so pissed. So, like, I never really liked the Cape. But now we go. It's a family tradition. Me, the wife, and the kiddo and her family every year for 3-4 days. It's a good time, especially now that the kids are involved. But there's Jay out in the Cape. There's nowhere to go. Like, you drive everywhere. You can't just, like, walk somewhere. So that's, like, my big pet peeve. I grew up going to, like, Cape May, Wildwood. You just walk around. You hop on the boardwalk and off you go. I love that shit. You can get on these little pedal bikes and cruise around town. So, but, like, in Cape Cod, there's really nowhere to, when you look around, there's nowhere for a golf course. So to hear there's, like, places with 36 holes and shit, I'm like, well, where? Because, like, the place I look up, they're so far from where I am.
And next year, Roger will be divorced because he's on his trip. He's going to be trying to hit all these golf courses.
Right. Like, hey, babe, I got to take this ride up here real quick. Or I'll be back about 6 hours.
They're there, man. Believe it or not, it's narrow out there. But they're there. They really are. We've played them. There's proof. I have proof that they're there.
And there are a lot of 9-hole courses, though.
Yeah, right. That's what I noticed. Yeah.
And I was then speaking of that reminds me, Hidden Gem out there. Well, we just recently played beautiful Highland Links in Truro. Oh my God, it's literally so Truro as you go out to the Cape deeper, it narrows.
Yep.
So this golf course is almost the furthest out the Cape. Both sides you're on.
Because what's at the point?
It's Provincetown. So Truro is right before Provincetown. Yep. That's where this golf course Highland Links is in Truro. And I mean,
that's where Bob goes.
I felt like if you go on my page, you could see pictures from there. I mean, I felt like I was almost on like the cliffs of like Pebble Beach, but like, I wasn't. But I was just visualizing,
because the water's crashing right up to the walls on you, right?
We played in November, and it was probably what 40 degrees, wind blowing off.
Okay, the one Brad went up there with you guys? Yeah, because exactly. I remember Brad was like, "Oh, I can't play this weekend. I'm going up to the Cape." I'm like, "Bro, it's fucking November."
I'm in my Bruins jersey.
But I grew up going Wildwood. I grew up on Wildwood, and I love Wildwood. I still go. I take the girls there. We love it. We love Wildwood, but. And it's Cape Cod is a different, it's a different thing. If you're going thinking you're going to go to a place like Wildwood or.
And that's what I did. Right. When I was a kid, that's what I did. Yeah, so I was like, I was expecting, like, all right, we're going to go to Wildwood. They got like an amusement park, boardwalk, where there's all games.
We
like
used to always do the boardwalk shit
too. Yeah, so I was expecting that. And I get there, and my mom's like, oh, there's a trampoline park down the road. And I get there, there's.
Mini golf.
It's not even a sky zone. It's like some fucking redneck bullshit.
Jay, you pay like $10 for 10 minutes on a fucking 4x4 trampoline square just to jump up and down. So me and my two brothers are sitting there going, boom, boom.
Those guys are bringing Bush Light in the back, fucking building trampolines $10 an hour.
And then once you're in your place.
And I'm like 16, you know what I mean? I don't want to do this.
And once you're in your place for the night at Cape Cod, you're in your place. You ain't going out walking
around.
There's
no nightlife.
There's nothing to do. So expect just to chill.
11 o'clock, shut down.
Yeah.
Whole town.
For sure.
Maybe
whole
a gas
station. I mean, it's 10 o'clock everywhere.
Yeah, 10 o'clock for the most part.
Probably.
A couple gas stations open.
Cumbies. You could catch Cumbies maybe open till 11. That's about it.
It's crazy. So, like, we might be going out there bringing the boys out for a weekend. I talked to a few of them. Fairway sounded like he was interested. Steve and Hank. So, I haven't spoke to Bob or Jay really about it yet. So, hopefully these guys get on board. Get Kev going and bring that's the whole
that'd
pitch part,
well,
crew.
Yeah, I got. I mean, we sleep six, so everyone's gonna have to Airbnb a place. So
yeah, that's nothing.
We have about six guys ourselves, so we can't fit them all with us. But they all plan. They're all from the Golf Week Tour.
Okay.
So I think we could have an awesome event.
Yeah, just a cool little outing.
Absolutely. And before I just want to throw out back to the Golf Week Tour. If anybody wants to look it up, get a hold of Adam Cahill. He's a really good guy. You can shoot him a text. 518-705-0820. He's really chill. You can give him a call, give you any information you want. This amateur tour is really for any level golfer. I don't want anybody to get like...
See, I'm glad you're saying that.
Like, yeah,
I'm glad you're saying
that. I don't want anybody to get like feel nervous to come because you know what? People come and shoot the 110, mm-hmm. 120. I've seen awful scores.
Because it's broken down into flights, right?
Exactly. Yep. So it starts from champ flight, which is scratch.
Yep.
And then A is, I believe, you know, 3 to 5 handicap.
Okay.
And then it goes all the way up to D flight, which is 17.9 and up. As handicapped. So it's and you don't need no gin to get in, but you will get exposed if you're trying to, you know.
If you think you're a 5 handicap.
Right, but you don't want to do
try
that.
To sandbag.
Don't be a sandbagger here, dude. But yeah.
You'll never play again.
Yeah,
no, never get invited. You'll never get put back on the
They
list.
Will bump you down.
Oh, yeah.
Although, they see that you were.
They'll adjust you accordingly.
Right. So and then the end
be
of
down to the other 2 flights in one room. Right.
And then the end of the year is actually where we're booked. I booked. There's a net. What's great about this thing is you play 4 events and you automatically qualify. It's a national thing. You play against. I mean, again, I was saying earlier, it's a nationwide thing. So people from all over the country go down to Hillhead in October, and I just booked our place.
That's
so I'll be doing that this year and competing against about 200 people on my flight.
That's cool.
So there's some big money involved if you could win it. I mean, if you could put 3 rounds together.
Yeah.
It's definitely sick. But, yeah, check out www.amateurgolftour.net and give Adam a call. And, I mean, it's like I said, it's just the camaraderie of all the guys. It's great.
Yeah, so
it's really fun.
My buddy Neil sent me that last year. He seen it on Facebook or something and sent me the link. And I looked at it. And I'm glad you said that there's the different skill levels because when I first seen it, I didn't look like into it. And I was like, I'm not going to put all this money and travel and do all this and get my ass kicked every weekend. It's just stupid. But then I didn't know until right. I think you posted somewhere where I looked more into it that there was different flights for it. I'm like, oh, shit, if I put myself in a flight where I'm competing against people my same skill level, it might be a little bit more interesting for me to do, which I'm probably thinking about getting into something, but I can't leave my guys on Sunday with the pitch, putt, and puff. That'd be the only thing.
Well, you know, I honestly, I was telling JR, anytime there's not a Sunday event, you know where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know where I love the thing you got going on.
I've never had
a bad round. I mean, I've had a bad round.
But you had a good time.
I had an amazing time.
That's
with the guys.
Thing.
I've never been at a dull
the
moment.
The thing about the golf week is you only need to go to 4 events.
To qualify for all the stuff.
To go to October.
Yeah, right, that's what I was saying. So it's not
so
a huge, no commitment.
4 events.
Right. No commitment.
Right.
If you want to do that even.
That's
I mean,
cool though, 4 events. Like you might be able to squeeze that.
Yeah it's literally, like,
yo, guys,
like I said,
he's got 4 times over like 30 weeks. Like
with free, obviously 1 week in the county, if there's an outing then, boom,
yeah,
we're in there for
like
1.
The
there you go. So he's got, I mean, he's got 1 at Saratoga Lake, that's $105. Like I was telling Mike,
but you're getting 2 rounds of golf.
And that's, well, that's a day. That's a day one.
Okay.
So the 2 rounds of golf are, you know, like I think Freer last year was like $165 for the 2 rounds.
Okay.
But that was with prize money,
yes,
trophies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's not just the round.
You're getting perks out
most
of it. Too.
Most of the 2-day events I've seen on the new thing are like 200.
Yeah, they're at nicer places.
Right.
Highland, and
250.
Highland was we played
for
Highland
2-day event
new last year. No, I was with Bud. We went up to Highland like this, literally this time last year. Because it was a day like today. It was 50-something degrees. It just wasn't soaking wet. We went up to Highland. I think it was me, Aaron, Bob, and my buddy Mike went up there. It's like January 15th or something. We went up there.
That's awesome.
First round of the year last year.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I liked Highland. I liked Highland just all like the false backs. I didn't know the course.
Yeah.
So that's where I lost a lot of strokes. You know, if you overshoot a green at Freer Park, you're in a little bit of rough. You overshoot a green at Highland, you're gone.
Yeah.
You're in the red,
yeah.
You know? And it was
it's a tough course. It's nice.
If you don't play the course, you don't know that. So I was overshooting a lot, and it was some penalties. So, but it's a nice course.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
That people definitely check those guys out. That's we're looking to get him on here at some point and get a little bit more into that, the whole amateur golf tour there.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty cool. So
if you do want to save a stroke or two, I would say, for me, off your score, try to figure out what your numbers are in your clubs. Like,
yes,
really, uh-huh. Like, really do it. Like, don't just, like, assume or, like, go to the range, find a target, hit, like,
practice time
20 balls, and, like, take the ones that you were like, yo, those 3 were probably really good. I shot, like, when I hit those, how I would like, they went, like, exactly that number, you know?
150 and in.
Yeah,
that's the most score.
Well, hit dial down there.
Well, it's funny you say that because
overshooting greens. Like
what I did after I left the sim the other night was I went on my notes on my phone and I did just that. I started with my 3-wood that I was absolutely crushing.
That shit's so and important. I said, if you're off 10 yards, dude, so you're in trouble, bro. Right, right. You can't be off 10 yards on your
You'd rather
shots.
Be short 10 yards than
right.
10 yards.
But I went from my 3-wood down, and I said, this is where I'm at, and I dialed it in. Yeah. You know, it's what you got to do. You're right.
I would say have like a 3-yard window. Like, yeah. I'm gonna hit this 163 to like 167, 168. Like, don't get 5-10 yards apart. Try to get like 3. Oh, like get like 3 maybe on each side at the most. That's like.
That's it. So, like, last year...
You got to figure that out. That's how you hit GERS and fucking get low scores.
So, last year, remember me when I got went on that one stretch? Like, I started hitting my irons last year, like, clean. Like, how I was hitting them in the bunker the other day. Like, I hit my 7-iron in there, 214.
It was nuts. It was nuts.
I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even hit my driver that far sometimes. So, I started, like, really hitting it clean. And then, like, my yardage... So, 2 years ago, my 7-iron was my 150 club. Last year, that was my pitching wedge. Don't know what I did different. I just showed up and started playing golf. Legit, still don't know. So now with these clubs, it's going to take me another adjustment period to get them figured out on the distance and go from there. But that is huge, though, because once you do dial it in, it makes a huge difference, especially if Freer Park 90% of the time. You want to be short opposed to long.
I don't think I ever shot good at Freer unless I hit my GERS like over 50%.
You have to. You have to.
But you won't do that like... Oh, why did that only go this far? Like, you got to put that club in your hand and be like, yo, this is my 127. I know it. Like, I'm 125. This is going to work out. It's, it just
that's
works
when you,
the fuck
that's
out.
That's when you can pin hunt. Yeah. You know? That's when you're like, I am going to put
I know exactly how far I can hit this shit.
I hit this clean and it's going to go where I want to go. Boom. Yeah.
Hitting it clean is the key.
That's the key. That's the key. So, Ann, tell us, you guys tell us some the plans for your podcast. What type of content should we expect?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to branch out to not only golfers. I'm just hoping people travel to the Cape because we're going to talk about our favorite eats out there. We have a lot of places already. Shout out to Brack's Landing, one of our favorite places. Absolute beautiful spot. You sit out on a marina and mm-hmm. just watch boats coming in and amazing burgers.
What
Mike,
part of
what
this
do you think?
Is, what part
spot
of the,
on. Spot on, dude.
But, yeah, I want to reach out
what
to,
part
like,
of the Cape are you guys in?
We're in Brewster's, which is basically, like, right in the middle, but we got... Dennis right next to us. We got Harwich right next to us.
So you're
running
on the
us.
East or what?
I don't know. We're on the bay. You know, we're on the bay side. So we're right next to the bay.
Yep.
We're, you know, within a mile from the bay. But,
so I'm on the opposite. That's why I'm on the south side. Yeah.
But yeah, no.
We're almost right at the elbow.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, so I want to branch out to not only golf listeners. Maybe people going to the Cape that want to, hey, what is there to eat out there? Like we said, it's not, you kind of got to get in your car and drive around places.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna definitely share places to go, beaches to go. That's
Sunday school. You guys, is there Sunday
school?
Yeah,
there? One of it's the ice cream places. Yeah. Awesome.
Sunday
man.
School is lit.
But there's
bro.
Even another ice cream place, which I forgot the name of it, but I will find out that literally, like, you could watch them hand making the ice cream. Like, it's
old
just
school.
This,
it's all old school shit out
like,
there.
Like, when they say, like, homemade ice cream. It's legitimately they're churning the cream. They're like it's some
that's
some
dope.
Shit. It's awesome. But the
chocolate store.
But yeah, the Chocolate Sparrow. I want to just give you know. I want to give. I love Cape Cod. I've been growing up going there, and you know I want to give them some love with this. And I think I got a crowd that'll listen to both. You know, the golf end and the Cape Cod end.
And I think really the more exposure you get out there along with here. Is going to benefit you because of the tourists going there. It's going to bring your exposure. When they leave, it's going to bring that exposure
absolutely.
To where they're going.
Yeah,
so I think that's a real, real good plan and route that you guys are taking for sure.
For sure, man.
That's
So I think that, and then we'll be talking a lot about the tour. You know, we'll be talking about, I'm definitely not only going to talk about the Cape. You know, I'm going to be talking golf stuff. Ton of golf stuff, live, PGA, mm-hmm. drama, you know, all their sports activity.
Yeah.
Just everyday stuff like you do. You know, you get into conversation and we're just going to chill. We're going to just talk. Absolutely. That's really it. But
just think about it. When you're in the Cape, you guys go play your round of golf and then you guys are probably sitting down rolling one up, chilling.
That's
probably having a conversation that you could just record, and that's your
podcast.
That's
where we were thinking. I'm like,
that's
let's do this.
That's your podcast. What you're doing anyway is a
how
podcast.
About Tiger and Nike?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, that's where this, like I said, it started with us just going out there playing different courses, and then Mikey looked up a map, like I said earlier in this episode. And when he got the map, just that clicked about, all right, let's have a bucket list type thing, say, you know,
yeah.
A quest for 50 type thing,
that's
you
cool.
know, to play all 50 courses. And that was even before. Then I said, you know what? I said, let's invite some people along for the ride.
Yep.
If they want
to
come.
We're going to have to do something special in order to get onto the private courses.
Well, that's, you know what? That's what I said.
And that's where all this is going to hopefully come into play.
Yep. Absolutely. Eastward Ho in Chatham. I mean, if you go look up pictures, I mean, unbelievable. Listen, you want to hear something funny? I tried. I'm not going to do it again, but I tried following them two times on Instagram. It's a members only for Eastward Hall. There's nothing else. I followed every other golf course on the gate. Followed everybody. Reached out to everybody.
So you got 40. So, you're 49 of 50. Listen, so your quest for 50 is two times.
So they literally denied me twice.
Sneaking onto that course.
They're like, who is this dude? They're like, I ain't accepting him. We'll see. I mean, that's the whole thing. If I could get that. That's one of the biggest goals.
That's great.
You know, I'm not trying to make any money here, dude. I'm just chilling.
That's it, man.
I'm
that's
having
the whole
fun.
Thing.
You know what I mean? And
that's the whole thing.
If I could get golf on some of these private courses, that'd be pretty epic.
That's
hopefully
it.
Cape Cod Golf Guys can hook us up.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to those guys. Go check them out. Cape Cod Golf Guys on Instagram.
That map. That
Cape Cod Golf Guys.
That's who hooked up the map. Yeah.
They gave me a little bit of push with this too. Just the idea of, you know, all the Cape Cod courses, I definitely piggybacked the Upstate Golf Guys thing a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's just a cool name, Cape Cod Golf Guys, Upstate
Absolutely.
Golf Guys. So
Absolutely.
I definitely piggybacked that a little bit. But, they're definitely cool. Go check out their stuff and go check out what they got to offer. I bought three awesome hoodies from them for the guys, and they rock, man.
I think you guys were wearing them at the bunker.
They just
started
out when I found the map. So I've watched them grow over the past
nice.
Couple few years.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So yeah, they're getting big, and they seem pretty cool.
They've played Eastward Hall a few times. I know that. So
they got the plug. That's the guys you need to talk to, man.
I don't want to be annoying either. You know what I mean?
Right, with that's
that.
That's it.
I don't want to be like, yeah, not because I got to ease into the relationship.
That's literally what
I got to ease into the relationship. Yeah, we can't do that.
That's even like what I did with XG, getting him on. I went to that comedy show over the summer. He said to me, yo, for you coming out to the show, driving a couple hours, man, I'll jump on the podcast. And I was with my wife. I was like, yo, I got her as a witness, you know, joking. And then, like, we were supposed to do something in, like, October. Something that fell through. And then I was like, you know what? Let me reach out to him again. Not going to bother him. I reached out to him something completely different. Didn't even ask him about the podcast. He's like, yo, I'm still down to do the podcast. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, all right, now I'm definitely going to take him up on this opportunity. And then I reached out to him again. And he's like, yeah, next Wednesday's perfect.
Hell yeah.
Text me his phone number the whole nine yards. I'm like, dude, I watch this guy every day on fucking podcast and YouTube and probably listen to him more than I listen to anything else.
You must have got that feeling in your stomach a little bit, though, when you started
talking. I was nervous, dude.
At
first I was nervous, but, like, what it was good is the fact that I got to meet him before and, like, had a conversation with him. Like, having a conversation was a little bit easier opposed to being like, oh, shit, I'm talking to someone like I'm a fan of, pretty much. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, shit. It was cool, though. It was a cool opportunity. He shared it a couple times, so shout out to him for that.
Oh, yeah.
But, Mike, it's funny you brought up Tiger because I'm just going to, you know, just get into some current events and shit. What do you guys think about Tiger leaving Nike after 27 years? Literally, I thought you were looking at my notes because that was the next thing on my notes, man.
I got T-Dub shirts already. Like, I don't give a fuck if the Nike symbol's not on there.
Right.
I'll still get it.
Rather it not be on there.
Like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about that Nike symbol on the Tiger Woods shit.
But the money, though, who do you think he goes to? Because he's going to get paid by somebody to go somewhere.
Bro, he can build a sweatshop himself if he wants. He's got money.
I hope TaylorMade picks him up. I hope TaylorMade
for clothes?
Well, seeing as how Malbon just picked up
his kid, right?
Jason Day.
Oh,
yeah.
He just dropped them. Yeah, they're small.
They're very small. And when I saw that, I went and looked into them. They're like not
that's what I think. I think
make it own, dude. I don't think he needs any.
What I think he's going to do, though, yeah. I think it's kind of going to be like making his own. He's going to start with someone small like that and try to build up the brand, but buy in the ownership of it. So when he
just own the whole thing by the time.
So by the time he puts his name on it, you're already added however many million dollars. So that company is going to boom. He owns
Jason Day model shoes soon.
98% of you know what I mean, like all that shit. So I think he's and then he get his son involved.
Everybody loves like his cleats.
Everything
like, they're like one of the best.
They
ones
think he's for
get.
Cleats. They think he's going to go to FootJoy,
bro.
To go to FootJoy for cleats. So that'd be interesting to
see. You know how much money all his like apparel and shoes and stuff that he had by Nike just went up like overnight? Like if he bought a pair of T-Dubs, like...
What's their game plan?
I mean, they don't make clubs no more. They're just trying to... It seems like they're trying to ease their way out of the golf game, but like I hope to. I wear Nike all day, so I'm hoping
they got
at least
like Rory, Tony Finau now?
Yeah, just keep coming out with a couple polos for me and I'll be good. That's all. I'm a Nike guy all day. It's funny because like Christmas and stuff, I always get like those that Under Armour polo or something like that. I'm always like, I feel bad because it's a gift, but now to the point like everybody knows like Nike or nothing type thing. So it works out good.
Riders don't wear anything but Nike.
Not all day. Nike, it's got to have the canes on it. The other thing, let's see here, some current events to get into. Currently, we had Jersey Jerry shoot, what was it, 2,600 shots for the hole in one. You guys see that on?
Hell yeah.
The Barstool guy. That shit was crazy.
There was another guy who did it in a Speedo.
Yeah, I seen that. Followed it up. I seen that.
Oh, God. The internet. We got all of the internet, man.
There's always going to be that one upper.
Always. Always.
That was awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to bring up Michigan winning the national championship, but since Brad's not here, we'll skip on that. Nothing to talk about there. Nothing to talk about. Nick Saban retiring today, though. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Congrats to his amazing career.
That's crazy.
And then,
go enjoy your money.
Yeah. Dude, he's done. Like,
how long you been like around, dude? Like, just
for real,
dude. He
just
dominated.
Go disappear and like just go do whatever.
What
dude.
Was it? They had
still go to Epstein Island.
No doubt.
Well, it's like Bill Belichick. Why is he really going to go in and start another? But you know what? He's got such an ego. He wants to go.
He wants to prove he can do it without
with
Tom.
Another team.
He wants to prove that he can do it without Tom. Yeah. And then a new segment I'm going to try to mix in here. Have you guys join us for it? It's going to be just three random questions. Completely random. Like just shit I completely fucking came up off the top with or seen on the internet and was like saved it for the podcast. What's your biggest pet peeve on a golf course? Gonna be one golf
this has to do with one of the rules and I don't give a shit. I will move the damn ball, but when my awesome drive lands in a divot and I'm 100 out and I'm in a divot and somebody from the tour says you got to leave that ball there, got to hit it from there, you know, because there's singulars on tour. But come on, man, change that rule. But you move it an inch behind the divot. Why get punished for an amazing?
Even if you're just moving it back.
That's
move
it.
It back.
You're not moving it any forward. Nope. But when you land in that popular landing zone, come on, how do you get punished? Too many other dumb rules in golf. That they should make
most
that.
Most golf carts nowadays don't even have anything to fill in a divot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a
more chances of landing in one.
Ground under repair, right? It should be ground under repair, which you are able to move the ball.
I mean,
come on. So that's my biggest pet peeve. Mike, I think I have a feeling I know what his is, but go ahead.
I don't know if you're going to know what mine is. Fall golf. Golf carts should have leaf blowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bring mine.
They don't have spotters.
Yep, I bring mine.
Around 250 yards out there.
Yep.
Especially in the Northeast. Leaves come out of nowhere.
So last year I started bringing mine and brought it all the time. Boom, 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 used it. This year I didn't need to bring it. Like, they did a real good job up at Freer cleaning it up good for us. I mean, we were playing quite a bit, and the leaves really didn't fall to the point too early this year where it really affected
so
us.
So you bring a leaf blower?
I bring one, yeah. I got a little small Ryobi, awesome. Happy homeowner joint. I throw right in the middle of the two bags. We get up to the green.
I got to see what kind it is because I'm going to buy one.
Dude, it was like 80
I don't want to get the wrong one.
No, bro, it's
get
perfect.
It's way too long.
There's smaller ones, too. Good. You can fit right in the bag, yeah.
It works.
So nice. If you say like you're over on four and you shank one to the left, you're like, oh, shit. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
It's so sick.
You ever blow off leaves and find like six balls?
There's that one guy who walks up and down seven all day.
Because I give up real quick when I hit the balls in the leaves in the fall. I give up real quick. I just drop one. I just
I start using crabby balls once I see it fall. I'm like, this $5 golf ball.
He don't care.
$5 golf ball, I'm dropping a new one.
I'll find like something I would have found during the year that's been sitting
right,
bag,
some halfway decent Callaway or something.
You know, like an ERC soft or something around like... three
red, white, and blue stripe one? Yeah, that's what I start
using. I'm not playing a $5 ball and fucking fall on like a tree underneath, and I'm not finding that if it goes in there. I'd be pissed if I lost that.
What's your biggest pet peeve, Jay, on a golf course? Something that just pisses you off out there all the time.
Ooh, I don't really know. There's a lot.
Mine's pace of play.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Mine's pace of play. Like, keep the fucking... Like, there's times out there this year, we've seen people giving fucking lessons. Like, there's three groups backed up behind... Like, there's two groups on a tee box waiting to go because you're giving fucking lessons.
On the first hole. I was there that day.
Yeah, remember that? They had to go move.
Yo, the first hole... Saratoga. This guy was trying to give his girl or somebody a lesson. They just hit their drives, and he's like, she chunks this first one. Like, and he tries to give her a lesson, does it, chunks it again. We're like, look at me. This, all of us looking at the start are like, yo, I think he's giving her like a lesson, dude. And he's like,
this ain't the day for
that. He really is. And he had to like go out there. I was like, bro, that's a wild lesson on the first hole with people on the box.
there's a lot of fuckery that goes on sometimes.
Sometimes, like, dude, long pre-shot routines,
yeah,
they fucking piss me off, dude.
There you go.
Like, bro, yeah, if I had to play with that, I do it
sometimes.
Guy, bro,
I'm guilty of that myself sometimes.
I could never.
I'm guilty of that myself sometimes, like getting up there. Like, I do my little fucking waddle to get comfortable.
It's different if you're like changing your mind about something, or like something came up.
Changing clubs.
Right. Like, you're just fucking like, kind of just standing around, like, what are you thinking about? Like, it's been like 30 seconds. Or like, what are you doing?
When
you're shaking this ball. And then they shake it because they fucking waited
when
30
it's a putt,
minutes to hit it.
Someone could be sitting there lining that up. Like, you got three other people to go or whatever. And you're sitting there lining it up. You got a good idea where you want to go. And then, like, I know you want to, like, readjust yourself. But, like, basically starting that process all over. And it's like, like, you've had
you
10
move
minutes.
You got to move it real quick. Move it real quick. You don't have to do the whole, like, pre-shot routine again. Or, yeah. Like, dude, something
as long as you're not playing for money.
Right. That's an issue, yeah. Something that we've had an issue with that in the past.
Take a little bit, you get down on it, you might stand up, not realize that you were kind of like way off. But like, dude, I'm like,
happens a lot at career park.
Yeah, we had an issue with some stroke shaving.
How long can you whittle that stick for? And like, before you shake this ball,
right?
Like, you shake it because you were over it for 30 minutes.
And like, a lot of times, you realize the less you think while you're up there, the better you do. Just get up there, put the ball down, grip it, and rip it.
And then you gotta go, man. I don't know what people are thinking up there.
So I get up there and rip it, but one thing I am guilty of is changing clubs. Is I'll get out there. I'm a visual.
Well, that stuff happens. That's fine.
I'm a visual guy, and I'll see my GPS, and it says, you know, like 150, and I'll get up there, and I'll look. And it's uphill a little bit. I'll be like, you know what? I want my 7-iron instead of my 8. You know what I mean? I need a little more distance.
There, yeah.
You know,
I
don't do that shit.
Like, Hank's funny. Hank does the same thing every time, but he takes a good 30 seconds.
What are you thinking about?
But like with Hank, Hammer and Hank, he'll acknowledge. How long? That was a good 6-minute warm or setup, right? And he'll like acknowledge as he walks back to the car. So like, sorry guys, like, good 6 minutes
to the
there.
Ball,
like,
step back, he acknowledges the conversation. Go back to the ball. Like, oh.
Let's see. Here's another random question. I seen this one on Barstool, so I got to give them a shout out. Would you rather be stuck in a mall with 1,000 snakes or one gorilla? What do you think, Ant?
Snakes
all day.
Is everybody trying to kill you?
Yeah.
Snakes.
What kind of snakes?
Like poisonous cobras, all that python, all that shit.
Take the snakes, the gorilla. Gorilla's sneaky and smart. They get you.
Bro.
Snakes.
I'll take that gorilla all day. Fuck a snake. I ain't going to be in a building. I hate snakes with a passion. Those snakes can creep up on you at any point, dude. Where are you sleeping? You're going to try to sleep. At least if you see the gorilla
you
come.
You just try to fight the gorilla? And
well, you can at least run. If you're in a mall, I'm going to Dick's.
Right.
I'm getting some shit to build.
Whoa.
Let me just go to Trek and fly real quick.
Let me clear off this question. How long are you stuck in the mall with them for? Are you just like chilling for like shopping?
You have to run
or are you actually like.
Let's say a week.
A week?
So you're going to have to sleep. You're going to have to sleep.
A week.
You're in there for a week.
Got to take a grill and try to hide.
All right, now that things change a little bit.
Definitely.
That's a lot of snakes. That's a lot of snakes, bro.
Snakes.
Still snakes?
I'm hanging the whole week on the escalators.
Man, them boys
can slither up that fucking shit.
I'm going to see what I'm doing with a gorilla. I'm finding a small-ass space with that rifle I got from Dick's Sporting Goods.
True.
And I'm posting up somewhere real low. And I'm hiding out.
He's going to grab you by your feet, and he's going to flip, flop, flip.
There's a lot of tunnels in those malls, man, and then back always in those malls, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's a good question. I
seen that on Barstool. I thought that'd be a good one.
They're another. I mean, who is it? Riggs and
yeah,
Foreplay.
Foreplay. Yeah,
those are the kind of guys you dream of. I mean, listen, they started somewhere.
They obviously had a nice backing to what they did.
Big time. But listen, what these guys do is a dream job, ain't it? Dude, oh my God! They're just out there with Tiger. See the one with Tiger.
Posted Tiger today.
Yeah. I mean, just chilling with him. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Dope.
So dope.
That'd be pretty dope. And the last little question here, the three-part questions. Favorite sports movie?
You know what I've been watching? Tin Cup. Shout out to the golf movie, Tin Cup.
Tin Cup.
Classic Kevin Costner. It's a good one I could watch at the store over and over again. And that's,
There's so many.
It's a good one. It's golf related. I love golf, and I laugh my balls off at, what's his name, Cheech?
Cheech,
I can be flicking through and stop on at any given point in time is probably the Bad News Bears.
Okay. The old school original, right?
Yeah.
Not that new shit.
That's always a go-to.
I always liked the one when they went to, they played in the Astrodome.
Yep.
That was one of my favorites. Yep. I forget which one it was. I love that shit. That was a good one. That'd be so cool to do that. Kelly Lee.
I would say for me, either Remember the Titans or the Mighty Ducks D2.
D2, the
USA versus
Iceland.
Yeah.
Bro, that shit is goated, I think, bro.
You want to play some hockey?
Quack Attack is back.
When they were all rollerblading and they went to the mall and they're fucking
off. Think about it as like a 12, 13-year-old kid just being like rollerblading through the mall, causing havoc like that with no repercussions. That'd be sick.
Amazing.
Mine would probably be The Program. You guys ever see that? The college football movie, The Program?
Great movie.
Omar Epps, James Caan, there's a bunch of people in that.
Feel good movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
All the feels.
That's a good
slap
one.
Slap Shot.
And then my other one would probably be the Sandlot for me.
You could go on and on this topic, yeah. Bro.
That's what I mean. Sandlot would be going. No doubt. But yeah, let's wrap this up. We've been on here for almost an hour now. Appreciate you guys coming on. Definitely going to help promote the podcast, get you guys all set up, whatever you guys need to do.
Yeah, just give us a follow, 518 Golf the Cape on Instagram, or any hashtag Upstate Golf Guys, and you'll find us. And
you got the YouTube page as well, right?
Yeah, that'll be on the link. Yeah, okay, we're goofballs. I love golf. We should be shooting the 80s, 90s, and we have fun out there doing it. And
feel free to critique.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thanks so much. Thanks so much, Raj.
No doubt, guys.
Really had a good time here.
No doubt. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back on in a couple of weeks. Once again, Jay, appreciate you having us set up here and take the time out of your night to have us, man. Well, shout out to you and your girl for letting us do this, man.
Yeah, no problem.
From peace out, everybody, from the Hey Man Studios. Later.